you have your Bibles. I trust that you do. Let's, of course, prime our hearts from the Word of God to be encouraged, to be blessed by God's Holy Word as we prepare our hearts for the time of incense, the time of prayer. Of course, a blessing for us to go to the Lord with our hearts knit in Holy Spirit power and love. And just kind of a reminder from last week. Last week preached on the blessing of praying together. Again, understanding praying together was the pattern and the priority of the early church. It was something that they prioritized, and they did as a continual, faithful thing that the church would pray corporately together. Corporate prayer, no doubt, is the engine of the New Testament church, just as closet prayers, private personal prayers, secret prayers of you and I, that is the engine of our personal walk with God. And we need both. We need corporate prayer. We need closet prayers. Then, of course, the time of incense, as I referenced that before, is a time of prayer of God's people, whether within the temple, like tonight here at church, or without the temple, wherever you might be. But I'd like to encourage us tonight from the Word of God, always to prime our hearts before the prayer time to come. And so tonight's message entitled, "We Are What We Pray." We are what we pray. And let's go to Psalm 119, of course, the longest chapter in the Bible, of course, in the book of Psalms. But Psalm 119, let's go to verse 5. We'll start there. Psalm 119, and let's go to verse 5. And what a scripture for us. And maybe be blessed by the Word of God. May the Word of God be living. It is living, but may it be effectual to you and I. We have it, but may we believe it. Okay, so let's go to verse 5, Psalm 119. Let's go to verse 5. The Word of God says this, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." What a scripture. Now, just to give a little context before we open up in prayer, this, of course, is a psalm, so it's you know, it's the Hebrew hymn book, of course, if you will. But it is also a praise and a prayer. And so it's a song, but it's also a praise, and it's also a prayer. In this case, the psalmist praying not just about God, but praying to God. And so we'll get to that that desire in a little bit here in verse 5, but let's ask God's blessing on the message tonight. Thank you, friends, for being here. What a joy it is to come together in prayer. Let's pray. Abba, Father, what a blessing, Lord. What a joy that we can come, Lord, tonight on bended knee, to gather around your word and your truth, that our hearts will be knit with Holy Spirit unity, Lord, that we will cry out in agreement, in one voice, for your glory, Lord, for your name to be declared among the heathen. Lord, we ask for your power in our lives. We need you, Lord. Father, please keep and change my heart, Lord, to be about thy business. Strengthen us according to your mercy so we can accomplish your will so that you be glorified. Thank you for the faithful ones that made it out, Lord. What a joy to be here, Lord, to pray. What a comfort and a joy. Certainly look forward to this, the highlight of the week, that we can come together to pray on a midweek to pray to you. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, have your way and your will. Speak to hearts, Lord, and just bless us tonight. And we thank you for the power and the privilege of prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Beautiful psalm, of course, Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible, of course. And it's no surprise that the entire psalm is about the power and majesty of God's holy word. That's wonderful. But beyond that, it is also in this context here about the psalmist. As you read this, yes, he is, and it doesn't say who wrote it. Of course, God wrote it, but you know, the assumption is King David was the one that was written this. But regardless of that, the psalmist, yes, throughout all the, I think it's 176 verses, he is glorifying, magnifying the word of God. That's wonderful. But you also get to discern the psalmist, his desire and his hope that his heart is right with God, so that he can be about God's business, so that he can obey God's word. And so it magnifies God's word. But we also, interwoven in this psalm, we also see the psalmist, his own cry and prayer to God for his heart to be right with God, so he can do God's word. And so we see that, you know, intertwined in this psalm. This psalm, of course, is a praise to God and to glorify God's word as much as it is a prayer to God. Let's go back to verse 1. I want us to see this. Verse 1, in fact, verse 1, 2, and 3 kind of go together in the same breath, if you will. But let's go to verse 1 and observe how the psalmist begins this psalm, okay? Blessed are the undefiled in the way. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a true statement. It's a fact. It's truth. That's a wonderful statement to make. Who walk in the law of the Lord. And all of us would say, well, amen. That's great. And then go to verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Again, that's a wonderful verse. We would read this. We would go, well, yeah, that's great. Blessed, of course, being happy. Blessed meaning just blessed from God above in heaven while we are here on planet Earth. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. That's wonderful. And then let's go to verse 3. They also do no iniquity. Who? They walk in his ways. And so those that are obedient to God, those that walk in God's ways, those that keep God's testimonies, you know, they are blessed, which is great. But I want us to observe verse 1, 2, 3, the emphasis of verse 1, 2, 3. Yes, it's on God's word, but it's also on they. They. That means those who do it. Okay, and so I put myself, maybe we can put ourselves in the shoe of the psalmist. Maybe he knows some godly people. Maybe he knows some godly men and women, some godly brothers and sisters in Christ who fit the description, who come to mind when he's thinking of verse 1, 2, 3, and he's going, hey, these guys are sold out for God. These guys are living the victorious Holy Spirit life. These guys are keeping the way of God. These guys are keeping God's testimonies. These guys do no iniquity. Obviously, we're all sinners, okay? But the idea is, as best as we can tell, they're sold out for God. They're living in holiness, in righteousness. They walk in God's ways. And so the psalmist is going, man, those guys are blessed. That's awesome. Those guys are blessed. But the emphasis is they. These guys are great. They're sold out for God. That's wonderful. Now, I share this because while it's great that others are following and serving and living for God, don't settle for they. We're going to bring it all the way around because we want it to be me, right? Okay, don't settle for, man, this guy is sold up for God. Good for him. That's great. I mean, that's good for them. But don't settle for that. We want it to be us, right? Me. Okay, look at verse 4. Now it transitions. Look at verse 4. Thou. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to God. The psalmist is talking to God. Verse 1, 2, 3. Again, he's talking about those, they, them, that live for God. He's talking about them and he's talking about God. Now, verse 4, he's talking to God. Thou hast commanded, what's that word? Us. And so now it's no longer just them, good for them. Now it's us, including himself, including you and I, including the listener, including the reader, those within his company, okay? So all of us. Those that profess Jesus Christ, those who are believers, Christians, thou hast commanded us, those who are saved, to keep thy precepts diligently. So God has commanded all of us. If you're saved, he wants you to obey him. God is holy, he wants us to be holy. That's kind of a no-brainer. So command us to keep God's precepts. That's his word, that's his judgments, that's his testimonies, that's his law. Okay, they're all interchangeable if you from that standpoint of God's holy word. He wants to keep God's precepts diligently. So focus on that. Okay, study to do this. And then we transition to verse 5. Oh, that whose ways? My ways. And so verse 1, 2, 3 is about them. Verse 4, yeah, it's all of us. We need to do this. And then it gets down when the rubber meets the road in verse 5. Verse 5 is as much of a psalm and praise as it is a prayer. And the psalmist, this is where I want to emphasize tonight. We are what we pray. And the psalmist is praying, verse 5, to God. He says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. That's what he wants. Because don't be content with, boy, this guy is sold out for God. And I'm happy for whoever sold out for God. That's great. But I want to be sold out for God, okay? If you know someone that is on fire for God, hey, that's wonderful. But my friends, what a joy when we are on fire for God, okay? And so the verse 4, that's all of us. This is what God has commanded us to do. And we can only do it through prayer. And so he's praying for God to allow him to give him the power, to give him the grace, to give him the strength to obey. So verse 5 is a prayer. It's not a presumptuous prayer. Prayer has always got to be based on faith, right? Prayer needs to be based on faith. That's a no-brainer. Without faith, we can't please God. Now, faith is not out there. Faith is in here, the Word of God. And faith is not just assuming God wants something, and then you pray that, oh, I really pray that tomorrow's a sunny day. God, you want it to be sunny tomorrow, right? So I really want to pray, and I'll believe that you want. No, that's not what the Bible tells us. But what faith is claiming by faith, without sight, what God has promised us that he will do. What God tells us that he wants, we know it's his will, we pray for it. In literally verse 4, God tells us to keep his precepts diligently. We know that's verse 4, so it's a no-brainer. Then he prays for it in verse 5. Just like we pray for someone to get saved, we know it's God's will that none should perish, but all come to repentance. And so the idea is what God tells us in his word. Faith is in here. We believe what God has told us. We claim it by faith, and then we pray it. We know God wants us to keep his precepts diligently. Pray it. Lord, I got to do this. Oh, may my ways, all that I do, were directed to keep thy statutes. May all that I do be directed so I do keep thy precepts, Lord. And so that's a wonderful thing. And so it's praying for ourselves. The idea is we are what we pray. And so I just want to share that just to kind of get that idea. It has to be by faith. Again, not so much praying to change my circumstances, which that, I'll confess, that tends to be a lot of my prayers. Many times, if I'm not kind of examining myself, if I'm not on guard, if I'm not prayed up, if I'm not confessed up, if I'm not, if I'm just, you know, just make a whim of a prayer, it's easy for me, it's easy for us to pray for our circumstances to change, right? Lord, I'm in a bad spot. Please change my circumstance. I mean, that's not wrong, but that's up to God. But what God wants is for us, in fact, the purpose of prayer, number one, is to praise God. Number two is to change not so much our circumstances, but to change us. That's the point of prayer. When I pray, is to change me. And so not always should I pray, Lord, I pray that you would change my circumstances, but how about, Lord, change my heart, give me strength, so I'd be content with my circumstances, or strengthen my resolve and just give me this all-sufficient grace. I thank you for it, but give me power and strength and conviction to go through these circumstances, right? And so the prayer is to praise God, number one, always to glorify God. Number two, to change not so much our circumstances, but to change our heart, to change us. In fact, how do we know this? Well, remember, prayer takes faith. Faith is not out there, it's in here, claiming by faith what God has already told us is his will. And so let's go to Philippians chapter 1. We'll come back here, but let's real quick skip over to Philippians chapter 1, because what has God promised he'll do? What has God told us that he'll do in relation to us keeping and understanding his word and will? Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Now, these are for believers, but Philippians all the way in the New Testament, we'll see how it harmonizes with the Old Testament scripture, because same God, amen. But Philippians chapter 1, let's go to verse 6. And this is a wonderful verse. In fact, I know there's a kind of a song or chorus based on this verse. But verse 6, Philippians 1, being confident of this very thing. So we know it's as close as Paul can paraphrase and say, verily, verily, right? Okay, he's saying this is completely true. Being confident of this very thing. What thing? That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The idea is that God, as he saves us, God is the one that saves us. We don't save ourselves. We trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We repent. We trust in Christ. We're saved. So God saves us. So starting with our salvation, God will continue to do a work in us day in, day out, month in, month out, until we see Jesus Christ. God is continuing to work in us ever since we get saved until we see him. In fact, if you skip to chapter 2, same Philippians, chapter 2, just to give a little bit more context, verse 12 and verse 13, and so it's God working in us, hence Paul says this in chapter 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The idea is we are saved by grace. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We have God's salvation. Now work it out, because it's God working in us. Well, that's why we have fear and trembling, because it's a big deal, because we represent God. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you. God is the one that works in us, starting with our salvation all the way till we see Jesus Christ. God is working in us. And so keep yielding to God. And by the way, this is the foolproof way of Christian growth. I don't have to overthink it. We don't have to overthink it. All we have to do is say, yes, God. All we have to do is yield to God, because God is the one that's working. It's when I get in the way with my pride and self and my stubbornness, and I say, actually, I want to go this way. Actually, no, I prefer this. Or actually, Lord, I say no. Then I get in trouble. But I don't have to come up with all the plans. God is doing the work. I just need to yield to Him. The greatest thing that we can say to God is, yes, yes, Lord. God is the one that works, so I just need to let Him work. Okay, don't resist Him. Don't fight Him. Don't quench the Holy Ghost, right? And so the idea is God is working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The very thought, the ideas that did not come from my flesh. If I get burdened to witness to this lost friend, that didn't come from my flesh. That came from God. And so I just need to yield to that conviction, yield to that as God would burden my heart. Okay, to yield to what He would want me to do and to will for His good pleasure. And so go back to Philippians 1 with me. God's desire, His promise for us. And so, okay, we know that. And so what does Paul do about this desire? Well, let's go to verse 9, Philippians 1. Notice what Paul, okay, so Paul tells the Philippians, this is what, you know, God wants for all believers, you and me and all of us. And then Paul says, and this I what? I pray. And this I pray. This is what Paul is praying for the Philippians. That your love may abound yet more and more. Now, not just a compromising love, but a charity love that's based on what? In knowledge and in all judgment. That's based on the Word of God. That's based on, like, Psalm 119. This is based on truth, God's precepts, God's judgments, that they would be more knowledgeable of the Word of God. They would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all judgment. But the motivation, the seed is love. It's not law, it's love, but it's based on God's Word. And in verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. This is not for babes in Christ. This is not for, you know, childish plays. This is for mature Christians. He wants them to grow in their walk with God. Again, going back to Psalm 119, that they can keep God's precepts diligently so they can grow as a Christian. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Wow. A Psalm 1 Christian, right? A fruit of the Spirit Christian, an abiding Christian that has a bountiful fruit, right? These are all characteristics of a mature Christian, being filled with fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. This is how we glorify God, by bearing much fruit. Amen, it's wonderful. And how is this going to happen? Paul is praying for the Philippians. Now, that's wonderful, but don't miss the truth that we need to pray for ourselves. So let's go back to Psalm 119. Again, for ourselves, more so than our circumstances. Pray for ourselves, because we are what we pray. So Psalm 119, go back there with me. Psalm 119, verse 5. The psalmist prays for himself. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Is that God's will, that his ways, you know, that he keep God's statutes? Of course it's God's will. So when we know it's God's will, pray it. Pray it. That's foolproof. You are praying the will of God. That's what he wants. And how, I don't know, how fervent does the psalmist want this to happen? How sincere is the psalmist? If you look at verse 5, I mean, every verse is wonderful, but I can't help but notice verse 5 ends with an exclamation mark. I mean, not to say he doesn't mean all the other verses. I mean, he does. But verse 1, 2, 3, they are blessed, They are sold out for God. Oh, Lord, I want to be like them. I want to be like those that are sold out. I want to be a prayer warrior. I want to be. I want my prayers to be effectual, to avail of much, etc., etc. I mean, so he really wants it. Plus, he starts with the word, oh. That's not even a word. That's just an expression. Oh, you know, he's just really moaning it out to God. He really wants this. I mean, he's sincere and he's fervent. And who's he praying for? Himself. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a blessing and it's a privilege and responsibility to pray for one another. We should pray for one another. We are commanded to. That's what God wants. But don't forget, the only you can pray for you. That's all, I mean, it's so profound, but we miss it. Only you can pray for you. I mean, if someone else prays for you, it could be Bob that prays for you one day. It could be Jim that prays for you. They could take turns or whatever it is. But everyone else can pray for me. They can pray for you. That's great. But only you can pray for you, okay? Because there's no other you. Only you can pray for you. And we need both, is what I'm saying. We need both. It's a wonderful thing for a church family to pray for us. That's great, and I pray for them. But if I'm not praying for myself like this, if you are not praying for yourself like this, I mean, I can pray for you like this, and you can pray for me like this, but only you can pray for you. So we have to pray because we are what we pray. Now, if we don't pray, don't even go there. No wonder. No, I'm just saying that we have to pray for ourselves. Pray, Lord, that my ways are directed to keep thy statutes. Pray for ourselves. But that's not all. What else does the psalmist pray for himself? And so tucked into this majestic psalm that glorifies God's word does have some prayer requests that the psalmist, you know, puts in there concerning his eyes, his heart, and his steps or his feet. So let's go to verse 18. Verse 18, notice what the psalmist is saying. Again, amidst glorifying God's word. Okay, this is to emphasize God's word. He really wants to appreciate God's word the way it is, because we know God's word is awesome. And so if I'm reading God's word and I'm only just, I don't know, averagely blessed, it's not on God's word, it's on me. Because God's word is awesome. You know what I'm saying? It's like someone tells you, hey, this is great. This movie is a phenomenal movie. And I watch it and I go, that's kind of mid. Well, it could be me, right? Here's the thing. God's word is awesome. If we read God's word and we go, that's okay. That's something's wrong with me, right? Not God. God's word is awesome. And so look at this prayer. Verse 18. The psalmist says, open thou, he's talking to God, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It says, Lord, I want to be in awe of your word. Please open my eyes when I read the scripture so I go, wow, I get it, right? That comes from God, and that's his. Now, God wants, God's word is awesome. So he's praying God's will. Help me to see your word. Indeed, that's awesome. What a challenge. Look at verse 34. Verse 34. Same Psalm 119, verse 30, actually 33 and 34, speaking about the psalmist's heart. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. I got a tender heart. Lord, please teach me. I'm open to instruction. I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Here's my heart, Lord. Please fill it. Fill it with your word. Fill it with your truth. Verse 36, incline my heart. It's like that song that we would sing, Come Thou Fount, right? And he says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave my Lord above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above, right? It's the Lord, please take my heart. Lord, please incline my heart. My heart tends to, bad boy, okay, keeps bad dog. Okay, my heart keeps wanting to wander. Lord, please rein it in. Here's my heart, Lord. Don't let me have it. You take it. You can watch my heart better than I can. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, Lord. Your testimonies are here. Lord, take my heart and put it in your testimonies and not to covetousness. Lord, I need you to do this. Do this to my heart because my heart is prone to go after things I need ought not to. Covetousness, mammon. Pride, whatever. Lord, please put it, immerse it in your word. Verse 80 says here, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Lord, I want to have a solid heart that's steadfast and holds fast. It's faithful to you. I want to have a sound heart, not just a wishy-washy heart, right? And so, Lord, please give me this kind of heart. Open my eyes to see wondrous things out of your law. And then verse 133, I mean, there's others too. I just picked some highlights for tonight. Verse 133, my steps, my feet, where I go. Verse 33, order my steps. What a desire. It says, Lord, I tend to go my own way. I don't want to go my own way. Please order my steps in thy word, that I live and go according to your word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That's, wow. Because if I go my way, I'll get snared up with my lusts. Next thing you know, I'm addicted to sin or whatever sin, and it reigns over me. Lord, I need you to keep me on the straight and narrow. I need you, Lord, to keep me from falling into temptation. Lord, please, open my eyes, open my heart, guide my steps. That is a phenomenal thing. God is yes, he's a living God. We know that. But God is an active God. He doesn't just check in with us on Sunday and then, you know, we'll see you, you know, we'll see you later, Lord. I'll see you next Sunday. God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us every day. Right there. He's an active God. May we be aware of that truth. Don't just, lean on him all the time. In our daily prayer. Yes, in our weekly prayer, but in our daily prayer, if we pray as we just covered, like the psalmist here, my eyes, my heart, my steps, if we pray this when we wake up, if we pray this in the middle of the day, if we pray this at the end of the day, it would really make our whole day have a Christ-centered point of view. We would be looking at things, you know, especially I can't overemphasize enough the importance of praying in the morning before we rush off, and then next thing you know, the day is done, right? That's just how it is. If you take time to pray at the start of the day, then we have our Christ-centric, point of view. When things happen throughout the day, I'm more prone to think, oh, wait, maybe the Lord is doing something here, okay? And he wants to guide me, or this is what he wants to show me, instead of me just blowing my fuse and getting upset at whatever the case is. And then, you know, take that spiritual time out in the day, pray to God at midday, pray to God at the end of the day, thank the Lord for a wonderful day. It's huge. When God works on us, he changes our heart and mind. Let's go all the way to almost the end, verse 161. Verse 161. Now, the psalmist, he says here, princes have persecuted me without a cause. Well, that's horrible. That's tough and painful. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. That's amazing. Even those in authority over him have put the screws to him, but he's okay because he's still so in awe of God's word that when times are hard, he's like, okay, that's not good, but God is so awesome. His word is so true. That's wonderful. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word. That's great. As one that findeth great spoil. He doesn't need the great spoil like the princess who are trying to, you know, who are persecuting him. He has it. God has answered his prayer. He asked for God to open his eyes that he can behold wondrous things out of his law, and God has. He answered that prayer. And he goes, wow, God, you're awesome. We are what we pray. Pray for God to touch our hearts. Pray for God. Well, it goes all the way back to our main verse. Let's go back to verse 5. We'll close there. May we claim this like the psalmist. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Lord, open my eyes to see wonderful things out of your law. Teach my heart, guide my heart, Lord. Anchor my heart to yourself, Lord. Please guide my steps in thy word. Lord, change me so I can be more like Christ. Lord, work in my life. Lord, I need you. What a joy, because when we pray this by faith, because God works in us, from the moment we are saved till the day we see Jesus Christ, he is working in us both to do and to will of his good pleasure. Do you believe that? That Philippian, you know, Philippian 1, do you believe that? Those verses, do you believe it? Claim it by faith and pray it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought again, Lord, as we come to you in prayer. Help me, Lord, to not be content, not to settle for just, you know, observing other godly people. Lord, I want to be a godly person. Lord, I don't just want to settle for blessed are they, everyone else that keeps God's word, that's good for them. Lord, I want to be the one of those that keeps your word. Lord, just move in our life, Lord, in my life. Open my eyes, teach my heart, and guide my steps. And bless this time of prayer time, Lord. It's a joy that we can come to you to pray your will in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.